Andrew.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, how are you?
Greetings from very rainy Paris.
Are you in Paris, are you? Amazing.
I lived in Paris for the last 12 years.
Yeah. Oh, is that? Oh, okay, wow.
Yes.
Lucky you, I love Paris.
I used to do 3 weeks of freelance 12 years ago and never went back to England.
Oh, wow, good for you. So how's that? Obviously, I presume you're a fluent French speaker.
I wasn't when I came. I was a real absolute total beginner when I arrived and sort of completely floundered and everything. And let alone sort of doing anything useful like ordering a beer or picking up a woman. It was very, very...
And you've managed to do both since then?
My skills are very rudimentary. Yes, I have succeeded in both since. Yes, I have.
Okay, well done. 12 years in.
And then I just immersed myself completely and went and just read a paper every day, went to French films, watched French TV, didn't go to lots of boring expat groups with English-speaking sort of Stilton eaters. I just immersed myself completely, and now I'm totally French. I even have French nationality. I'm French.
Oh, really? Wow.
European citizen. Yes.
Amazing. So, yes. I presume, is most of your freelance work come from this side of the channel, or do you get it from there?
From both, in fact. I work for agencies here, I work for the UK, and also a little bit for the US and around Europe.
Do they differ, Andrew, how they treat you?
Yes, their attitude. The other thing, the interesting thing is that they don't all demand the same sort of things, but at the same time, the way they see the way different countries see creative work is different, is interesting too.
Oh, really? In what way? How do they differ?
I find there's a bigger, sort of much more reinforced connection between the work, the strategy, the proposition, and whatever you do in terms of work. The connection is stronger and better understood on your side of the channel than this one.
Oh, really? You've got much more latitude to move around.
I made it my mission. I discovered that, you know, working around ages ago. I've made it my mission to a degree, anyway, to try and put that right. And every freelance assignment I do here involves a little bit of education too. And that's been enormously rewarding because people are very like that.
And they appreciate that kind of missionary work that you do out there.
Bolt the connections down between, you know, good single-minded strategies and their relationship to good work, for example.
How is lockdown in Paris? Is it...
Lockdown in Paris is nearly pretty much over.
Is it really?
I mean, yes, it is. Last week, the cinemas and some of the museums reopened, which is a joy.
And have you been?
I haven't been yet, because I went down south this weekend to see some friends, which is lovely. And the restos are open. I mean, I think the biggest pain the Parisians felt was, of course, one of the new restaurants and bars. The interesting thing was, if you went to a supermarket during lockdown, there might not have been much cheese, there might have been not any flour on the shelves, but there were three guys stacking the wine shelves all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, people, I think, took the opportunity to really, you know, enjoy a little more wine than they otherwise did.
So, Andrew, when was the last time you wore something without an elasticated waist?
When was the last time I wore something without elasticated waist? Oh, God. Probably over the weekend, in fact. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I suppose you're sort of slightly post-lockdown, so...
I wandered around the south of France wearing nothing but a sort of cotton dressing gown thing on a run overlooking an enormous mountain valley.
So... Have you been enjoying the wine then, whilst you've been off?
I do like good wine very much, indeed. And on Friday, my routine is I make myself a very large martini on Friday nights at 7 o'clock exactly on the day. You can set the worldwide atomic clock by it.
And so, have you found that you've been drinking more or less when you were?
No, about the same really. I have to watch it. I have one kidney only. I lost the other one 12 years ago, so I have to watch it a bit. But I do love good wine, and I will hopefully, even if I'm in 20 years' time when I'm sort of nearly 80, if my everything else doesn't work, although I sincerely hope I'm able to enjoy wine and write.
So what time do you stop working? Because I'm getting a slightly Hugh Hefner vibe with your dressing gown with nothing on underneath and a gin and tonic in one hand and a glass of...
Now it's funny because, you know, it's when I worked for Ogilvy, I could probably carry on till 11 at night. Now I'm freelance, I make a habit of not really going beyond 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Andrew, have you tried to bake any sourdough? Dave's looking for a sourdough.
No, I'm not. I haven't done it. Millions of people have. During lockdown, you read nothing but sourdough recipes and how to do them and things. I didn't, absolutely not. The good thing about it here is even during lockdown, all the food shops and things were open.
So, Andrew, in this period of isolation, have you learnt anything about yourself?
I have learnt a lot about myself, actually. I think, like a lot of copywriters, I think I've spent most of my life figuring out who I really am. I still don't know very much, but I know a bit more. I know a bit more about my likes and dislikes, and also about my sort of tastes and interests, and the fact that I've learned more about what doesn't matter than what does, really.
Okay.
Which is quite interesting. It's not about. I've always been very open to everyone. I mean, my friends include anyone from, I include homeless people and politicians. But it's taught me about the things that don't really matter. I used to worry a lot about I'm not a great technologist, for example. And yeah, that used to worry me because, oh God, everyone else is digital and I'm not. And all I can, you know, I can just about string a Word document together and open a Skype thing and all the other stuff. You know, yeah, I just about do that. But, you know, get me to set up some complicated platform or something, you've actually lost me. I used to worry about that a lot. I used to think, oh God, I must be getting old. I'll be redundant. People will be able to judge me by all that. And at the end of COVID, I thought, actually, bollocks to it. I don't really care. And people were, and to my surprise, people just regarded me just like a writer. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not very good with technology. I apologize for it. And you're just going to have to take me as I am. Don't expect me to spend the day setting something up when I don't understand. I hate being the mercy of things I don't understand. And everyone said, fine, Andrew, yeah, it's your writing we want.
Yeah, good for you. So, Andrew, recommend if you went into the next lockdown and you were locked in for a few months, what one DVD would you take?
What one DVD would I take? I would take Ridley Scott's Alien.
Really? Well, that's a very quick answer, yeah.
Because I love the dialogue, and there's always I've actually let the dialogue inspire me for various things. It's just something. It's just a masterpiece, really, and it's a potent reminder of film craftsmanship, and it's at its very best, really.
Yeah,
and it's something which I think lacks a little bit, not all the time, but lacks a little bit now.
It's funny, when I think of that film, partly because I'm an art director maybe, but all of my memories are visual.
There are some fantastic bits of dialogue as well about, you know, the industrial nature of the craft, you know, space, being on spacecraft, being very sort of high tech and very sort of slick and designy, really.
Yeah.
And the inside of the Nostromo was a lot of it was industrial hoppers and grasping gear and rolls of cable all over the place and water dripping from the ceiling and all the other stuff. And the dialogue between the maintenance guys was very good because it was very unspacey. It wasn't anything to do with, wasn't techie at all. You know, it was all about their contract and all about their, what they were going to get when they got back.
And can you think of an album you would take with that, your only album to go with your
own? Yes, it would have to be a classical album, if that was all right.
Okay, you're allowed classical.
I'd take the complete symphonies of Sibelius, which are sort of rich mines of musical ideas all just interwoven in between each other. Even if you weren't a classical music fan, I'd sort of recommend you download them all on Spotify or buy the CDs or something, because they are... Each one takes you away on a different colored cloud. And occasionally just say, if I'm not out on a Friday night, I will have one martini, maybe two, and lie on the sofa, stare at the ceiling and just put on, say, number two, for example.
Yeah. Excellent. That's a great recommendation. Right. So, Parv, do you have a question?
Let's see. So have you spotted any environmental differences in Paris whilst it's locked down?
Yes, indeed I have, quite a lot. The most parts of central Paris are very environmentally friendly. There's a lot of recycling goes on here.
Brilliant. So, right, one last question, which is, have you seen a piece of marketing over this period that stuck with you, either for good or bad reasons?
I saw a lot of stuff with the same message to it, saying we're all in this together. And things, and it began to grate with me. It got very monotonous. What I really did love, having my usual daily browse on LinkedIn, for example, I loved one or two very lovely people posted old work from the 80s and 90s. Yeah. Lovely people like Mark Fairbanks, who you probably know.
Yeah, yeah.
And people who posted some gems and things with big, lovely big ideas from the 80s and 90s.
Name one thing that stood out from that period, just so that you can...
Oh, God, I mean...
name check to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, the second day, I think, the second day of lockdown, I think Chas Bayfield circulated the Blackcurrant Tango ad. I got to realise how brilliant that actually was. The other intriguing thing about that, actually, I took a lot of them and I circulated them amongst students and new creatives that I know here.
Yeah.
And they say, and they all came back to me and said, why don't we do this sort of network now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's not about, you know, this is old stuff. We're digital. We're new. We're young.
No, totally. I mean,
not a bit of it. You know, it's all, they all said, God, I can understand why you wanted to do this then, you know. Why can't we do this sort of thing now? This is brilliant.
Excellent.
So, that was a salient lesson to us all, really.
And totally.
You think, are we doing it right now? I have no idea.
There's differing views.
I think, question. Yes, exactly.
But I think you're right. You know, if I have to do a talk or I do something on my blog with that features something old, it's primarily the younger people.
Younger people who respond to it.
Haven't seen it and just say, God, that's amazing. Why aren't we doing stuff as brave or as funny or as simple as that?
Why do we do that? Why are we doing something my kids again? You know, I'd be able to show my kids and they'll remember it too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's
great. Thanks very much for your time, Andrew. That was great. Really appreciate it.
Great. Very good. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye.